You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox, from Pro Football Focus and BearsWire.com, part of the USA Today Sports Media Group. We're bringing you another heaping helping of Chicago Bears talk for your ears. And today, like I promised, we're going to get to some more straight Bears talk. We're interrupting our early schedule previews, going team by team across who the Bears are going to face this year, try and get a feel of where they might stand compared to the rest of the league. But today, we're going to take a step back, or maybe a step in, to the Chicago Bears and look at a few key players for this upcoming season. I want to focus today on a few Bears here that could surprise you this season. These are guys that maybe were unheralded in years past, started to flash some things and give you some confidence that maybe 2018 could be the year that you go, oh, wow, look at that guy. He's making some plays now. Good to see him finally getting to or living up beyond maybe what expectations were for him. Got a handful of guys here, a couple on each side of the ball that I think have a pretty high potential to surprise you. And surprise is a particularly specific word here because, I mean, you know, everyone's expecting Mitchell Trubisky to have a big year. It's not going to be a surprise per se if he comes out and has a big season. And, you know, same on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, people are looking to Leonard Floyd to have a big season. Whether he does or not is a different question, but it's not going to be a surprise if Leonard Floyd has a big year. So these are four guys that I think might catch you a little bit off guard if they start to produce at a higher level. And I want to start on the offensive side of the ball with last year's second round pick, Adam Shaheen. You know, this is a guy that had a lot kind of stacked against him with expectations being such a high draft pick coming out of Division II Ashland, you know, 45th overall. That's, for a tight end, you kind of expect that player to come in and be able to be a contributor, but he had such a learning curve coming from that Division II school. I mean, that can be just a long adjustment process. You know, when he's down at Ashland, you know, he's what, 6'6", 270 pounds or whatever. He's bigger than everybody there. He's stronger than everybody there. And for his size, pound for pound, he's probably faster than everybody he went up against in college. And all of a sudden, you get to the NFL, and the cornerbacks are bigger and faster. The safeties are bigger and faster. The linebackers are bigger and faster. And it's a lot harder for a player like him to separate as a receiver, to hold himself up as a blocker and generate that displacement, to move guys around on the field as a blocker and to protect the quarterback. Everything is five times as harder going from Division II to them. I mean, as hard as it is to adjust from, you know, the big-time schools just going to the NFL, every rookie struggles, but you compound that with Division II ball, and it's no surprise that he struggled so much last year. But I think the other big aspect of this that maybe gets a little bit overlooked is just the coaching staff and the way that John Fox and Dowell Loggins really brought Shaheen along slowly and limited him a lot in his roles with the team. You know, this was a guy, as you might remember, that was focused by the coaching staff 100% or felt like 100% on blocking. He was a blocker. He would come in to block, wouldn't really get much playing time in general early in the season, as is typical for John Fox rookies. But when he was on the field, he was blocking. You know, over the first six games of last year, he ran a total of eight routes. Six games, eight routes. So, I mean, it's no surprise that he had one catch over the time. And, you know, it wasn't that he was playing hundreds of snaps over that span, but still, you're looking at 90% of his playing time on the field is just run blocking and a little bit of pass blocking. So, you know, it wasn't until Zach Miller gets hurt in that Saints game that you start to see Adam Shaheen get more of a passing and receiving type of role. And, you know, we started to see the positive results from that. We started to see him make some big plays in the passing game. It wasn't as though he was lighting it up every game, but here and there, you know, you'd see Trubisky roll out and hit him on a corner route or a little dump off where he's wide open, and maybe he makes a play after the catch. And, you know, it was, like I said, it wasn't as like he was just this sleeping giant waiting to be unleashed per se. You know, he only finished with, what was it, like 12 catches and 125 odd yards, but he had those three touchdowns, and he started to look like a pretty consistent red zone weapon. And, you know, the Detroit game, he had four catches, 41 yards and a touchdown. Bengals game, four catches, 44 yards and a touchdown. I mean, the foundation was there for Adam Shaheen to be able to do more, and he just didn't get that many opportunities in the passing game. I think on the season as a whole, he run blocked on like 65-ish percent of his snaps, according to Pro Football Focus. Like, he only played like a couple hundred snaps all year, and he still spent more time run blocking than any of the wide receivers on the team. And that's not to diminish the value of run blocking. It's an important area of his game that I think is important to develop, but I think you could have gone about it in a way that you allow him to develop his run blocking and give him more opportunities in the passing game, which may have been partially just a product of the offense not passing that much in general. But regardless, a lot of things have to do with the coaching staff and the lack of development we necessarily saw from Adam Shaheen last year. But now you have a coaching staff here that, in theory, you don't think is going to hold him back. And now he has a whole offseason with the team, whole offseason in their weight program, like all the rookies from last year. They joined in about halfway, and now he's had a whole year to learn the playbook. I mean, I guess a whole offseason to learn the playbook, whole offseason to work out and adjust even further to the NFL life. So you add in that adjustment plus a coaching staff that, in theory, should involve him more in the passing game. He's learning both the Trey Burton tight end position and the Deion Sims position, and Adam Shaheen then has the makings of a potential surprise contributor in this offense in 2018. Before we move on to another Bear that I think could surprise you this season, I want to remind you about our fellow Chicago podcasts here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Over on Locked On Bulls, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck, they're breaking down all things Chicago Bulls free agency this week. I know last week, at the end of the week, they were talking about Zach LaVine and whether or not the team should really invest on him and kind of where they stand on his future. And I really think this time of year is that, you know how excited you get about NFL free agency. NBA free agency has been wild with LeBron James already, and Locked On Bulls is your place to get all things Bulls free agency. But we also have Locked On Cubs right in the heat of the baseball season. I know the trade deadline is coming up there, some interest there. I think Ryan Davis, the host there, was talking about the Mets pitcher Jacob DeGrom last week, about the Cubs potentially trying to trade for him. And he was also talking about Javier Baez, or Baez, or however you pronounce the Cubs infielder. He's been talking about his hot streak and how his hitting could continue through the season. Really just, I think, phenomenal analysis of your Chicago sports teams, excluding the Chicago White Sox for now. But I've been told through sources that the Locked On Podcast Network is close to starting up the Locked On White Sox podcast as well. But for now, we've got your Locked On Bears, and I highly recommend you check out Locked On Bulls and Locked On Cubs when you're done with this episode. They're available on any of the podcast listening apps you use, whatever you're using right now to listen to this. Go check out Locked On Cubs and Locked On Bulls here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Today on Locked On Bears, we're talking about some Chicago Bears players who I think could surprise you in 2018. And I want to stick with another player entering into his second year in the NFL. This one coming from a very different kind of place than Adam Shaheen. Moving over to the defensive side of the ball, I think Isaiah Irving could be a surprise player at this outside linebacker position. You know, the Bears don't have a lot of proven production at that spot. We've talked about it, I think, at length recently on this podcast with Leonard Floyd and Sam Acho and Aaron Lynch kind of being the three top guys and what they need from Floyd this season and Lynch's injury history and Acho just kind of being that solid guy. But none of them have really been proven highly productive pass rushers over the course of a full season. And there's room here for an unheralded guy like Isaiah Irving to make that emergence and earn significant playing time in the rotation. You know, not that he's going to come out and put up 7 sacks next year, but if you can take an undrafted free agent from last year and get, you know, 4 sacks as the third or fourth outside linebacker in the rotation, I mean, that would be phenomenal production. Especially, you know, last year, I think he played in the regular season in total, I think, 43 snaps. And a fair number of those came in the blowout against the Philadelphia Eagles. So it wasn't as though he had a lot of regular season snaps to truly show what he could do. But he was a guy that the coaching staff continued to be high on behind the scenes. And I know he's had a big offseason. The Chicago Tribune did a little story about him probably a couple months ago now. I think it might have been back in May. And they said he's weighing still about like 250 pounds, but they have some kind of machine. It's like a body pod or something that can measure like muscle density compared to like body fat percentage. And Isaiah Irving supposedly has 20 more pounds of muscle, or I guess 20 pounds more muscle than he did last season. So obviously the fat, you know, whatever excess fat he had was cut down and the muscle was there. He's going to be stronger, in theory, faster coming into this season. And now, like a lot of the things we talked about with Adam Shaheen, he had to make that adjustment from, I believe, San Jose State. And, you know, as a pass rusher, when you're going up against college offensive linemen, it can be pretty jarring to make that adjustment then to the NFL, especially playing at San Jose State. It's not as though he was at Division II level, but, you know, San Jose State's not playing Alabama and Auburn every week. You know, it's a different kind of ball game when you get to the NFL and go against much more technically sound pass rushers while you're trying to learn the system and while you're trying to just keep up with the rest of the NFL. You know, Irving's not the biggest or the fastest or the strongest outside linebacker just with the tools physically that he has, but he's obviously coming along a little bit in terms of his technique and getting more coaching up from quality coaches who have developed talent before. And I think his outside linebackers coach, Brandon Staley, was one of the guys that was raving about him this offseason, said that his body's in a great spot. He's had an outstanding offseason. And he said that they really felt like last year, right before Irving got hurt, that he was starting to make a push. And that, you know, he came into that Eagles game and got the playing time, and they liked that he was taking the right steps forward. And Vic Fangio kind of echoed that in his typical blunt manner. And I don't have audio of this for you. It wasn't something that was a public press conference, but he said you couldn't really tell how good he was because he didn't really know what to do and he was struggling. And then the light came on one day and a lot of it started making sense to him. He's better off than he was last year, but we'll see. He's still got to do it in game situations. And of course, we're talking about an undrafted rookie free agent. You know, there's not a guarantee that this guy actually makes the 53-man roster, but you talk about the body improvement. You talk about a guy entering that second year with a full offseason with the team under his belt. Now, it's been more than 12 months with the same defensive coaching staff and the same playbook and everything. He's starting to feel comfortable. He's got his body up to NFL standards, and the coaching staff started to see him turn that corner last year. Let's see him now healthy again, pick up where he left off. Maybe a big training camp pushes him into a bigger role in the rotation, and he just has a lot of that potential to be a potential surprise player in 2018. Let's stick on the defense for another player here that I think could surprise you this season, and maybe this one is slightly more obvious than the first two, but I really feel like Roy Robertson-Harris is in a position now with Mitch Unrein out of the building and Jonathan Bullard not yet proven at the position. This can be the year that Roy Robertson-Harris starts to emerge and in the process surprises you. As you might remember, you know, he came into the league 2016 as an undrafted free agent out of UTEP, a guy that played outside linebacker and edge rusher in college. The Bears bring him in. They want to convert him to defensive line. They have him put on weight. They stash him on injured reserve in year one. Comes back last year. Opportunity for more of a role here with Bullard and Mitch Unrein, but he kind of struggled when the season started, and it was kind of his rookie year, so you can kind of, in some sense, he's a second-year player because this will be his second year playing on the field, but you could tell there was a little bit of that learning curve starting to hit him when he came on the regular season last year to start the year. And you saw him struggle for a game or two, and his snaps really just declined from there. And I don't know whether that was Vic Fangio, I don't want to say punishing him, but leaving him to have to earn more snaps based on his ability at practice and the limited snaps he did get in games. But the other thing that I raised an eyebrow at is his snaps kept going down and down until about that Saints game. And then he shows up on the injury report with a hamstring injury, and he misses two or three games during the year because, you know, directly related to injury. And I don't particularly remember him getting injured in a game down the stretch there. And I think by the time you got to that Saints game, he was playing like literally seven snaps and four snaps in those last couple games before he officially was marked as injured. And so I question whether or not potentially a guy like Roy Robertson-Harris had been dealing with a hamstring injury for the beginning of that season. As you kind of get through, you know, the Vikings game, the Baltimore game, and the Panthers game, he played seven, seven, and four snaps before ending up with this injured hamstring. I wonder if the hamstring injury was there all along, and they finally kind of shut him down temporarily, held him out of a couple of games mid-year before bringing him back to finish out the season. Hell, you know, letting that hamstring kind of recover. Because he came back really in that San Francisco 49ers game in week 13 and finished out the year playing a pretty significant role on that defensive line, really started seeing the bulk of his snaps during that time. And it wasn't as though he necessarily wowed you, but during the final 4 weeks of the season, he reached the quarterback on a sack in three of them. Three of the final 4 weeks against the Bengals, Lions, and Vikings, he reached the quarterback for sacks. And I know, I think in the NFL's official stat book, they gave him two full sacks on the season. But I know in the NFL's official stat book, they only gave him two full sacks over those last four games. But Pro Football Focus tracks their sacks a little bit differently. They give full sacks to everyone that contributed in tackling the quarterback and bringing down the sack. They don't do half sacks. And they also don't always give a sack to the player that the NFL stat book gives it to. And so, regardless of his full influence on those sacks, he reached the quarterback four sacks in three of those four games. And in the other game, the Browns game, he had a quarterback hit. So he got to the quarterback in all four of the last four games, three of them for sacks, one of them just a hit. But we're starting to see, you know, those last four games, he's taken those next steps that he finishes last season on such a high note, and he can carry that into 2018. And in a bigger potential opportunity here, he can compete with Jonathan Bullard for that starting job. I mean, Bullard is for sure entering training camp with it, and I don't necessarily expect Roy Robertson-Harris to take it from him, but he's going to see a significant number of snaps. I don't think you're going to see, you know, Bullard dominate the snap count as much. I mean, you're going to see him, by the end of the season, potentially be fairly close, with Bullard more likely than not having the larger amount and being the quote-unquote starter. But you could see Roy Robertson-Harris start to contribute more and more as a pass rusher. And if he can build on a lot of that production that he did last year and take that experience that he has now, like I said, essentially entering his second year, the learning curve starts to slow down a little bit and he can feel more comfortable. Maybe he's put on some weight and put on some muscle another offseason kind of with the team. He's been healthy this offseason. He's had a whole year to train. Let's see what Roy Robertson-Harris can do this year, because he's got the opportunity at that defensive end spot. And based on the way he finished last year, I think he has a pretty good shot to surprise you this year. Coming up next, we'll round out our list of Bears who could surprise you with another pass catcher on offense that I feel like is flying under the radar a little bit more than he should this offseason. And I think Matt Nagy can be the guy to help him reach new heights this season. Keep it locked here on Locked On Bears. Today on Locked On Bears, we're talking through some players that I think could surprise you this season. And I want you to think to this offseason, think about the players that we've kind of heard a lot about when it comes to Matt Nagy and Mitchell Trubisky and kind of success in 2018. You know, we hear Allen Robinson, he's going to be the number one receiver. He's just starting to get healthy from recovering from the ACL injury. They paid him all the big bucks. He's going to be this true number one target in Chicago. Yes. And you hear about Anthony Miller, you know, the rookie wide receiver. He talks the talk. He wants to have, you know, predicted, I think, eight touchdowns this year and the Memphis grind. And he's got all the swagger and really ready to be kind of this rookie sleeper who's going to emerge in this offense. And then, you know, there's obviously like Tariq Cohen and even Trey Burton, but Cohen gets these comparisons to Tyreek Hill, that he can be this move around and do it all weapon for the Chicago Bears offense. But I think the guy that might be a better comparison for what Tyreek Hill could do in this offense is Taylor Gabriel. That this is a guy who can win on the deep ball because of his speed, in spite of his height. You know, it's a role that kind of changed from here to there with the Atlanta Falcons. I know 2 years ago, he was a guy that had like three touchdowns on deep passes on only a handful of deep catches. But you see him be able to take the top off of defense. And, you know, he was a guy that just didn't necessarily get a lot of opportunities in Atlanta. And he's also a guy that can win after the catch. You know, he's consistently near the top of the league in yards after the catch and just yards per catch in general because he's an efficient producer. And what comes with that, though, is that he's never had the real volume of opportunity and targets to produce more catches and more yards. You know, last year he had 51 targets in the Falcons offense, and that had been the most since his rookie year with the Cleveland Browns. But in for context to that number, I mean, I think Josh Bellamy only had a few less than that. I mean, and he's probably three or four fewer targets. So if Taylor Gabriel's only getting the opportunities that Josh Bellamy got in the Bears offense last year, of course, he's not going to produce 800, 1,000 yards, you know, but we've seen him get some fairly significant production in the past. You know, last year, I think he was only at like under 400, you know, but rookie year, 621 yards. We've seen him be able to make plays for an offense. And I think you come to Chicago here and he should be in line for more opportunities, obviously a bigger role as more the true number two receiver, maybe in a rotation with Anthony Miller to some extent, but he's your other outside guy. Miller's going to start out in the slot, and I think you'll see the two of them rotate a lot. But you're going to see, in theory here, an increased volume for Taylor Gabriel. And when you increase the volume for a player, you know, maybe his efficiency that we've seen in years past isn't necessarily going to be sustainable. That, you know, if he has 50 catches instead of 35, maybe he can't average 17 yards per catch. But if he has 50 catches and his average comes down a little bit in yards, you're still going to see a significantly more productive wide receiver. You know, it's not fair to compare production to Tyreek Hill, but I just think from a skill set standpoint, when you talk about a smaller, speedy wide receiver who can win deep and win after the catch, obviously, you can make the Tariq Cohen comparisons there, but you're still going to see Cohen be a guy that operates a lot out of the backfield. And I think Taylor Gabriel can be that poor man's Tyreek Hill. And perhaps, you know, you're not going to see phenomenal numbers, and we're not going to compare for a 1,000-yard type year from him. But if this is a guy that was a 600-yard guy during his rookie year, and I think his first year in Atlanta, he got pretty close to that number, you know, you give him 20 more catches this year, is that enough for 200 more yards? I mean, that's 10 yards a catch. That should be pretty reasonable for him. You know, he could be an 800-yard guy this year, and that would be by far a career high for him. And, you know, you don't know what that's going to look like for touchdown numbers, but this just seems like a guy, this classic case of not getting enough opportunities on his previous team, comes to a new team, and just by nature of getting the ball in his hands more and throwing more passes to him, he could be a guy that surprises you this season just by exceeding what he has done previously in his career. Not going to blow you away with a 1,000-yard year and give the Bears 2,000-yard receivers and look like this diamond in the rough that had been, you know, overlooked by every other team and played in two different offenses and no one had unleashed him the way Matt Nagy was able to. But, you know, starting to see him more with those Tyreek Hill-type opportunities. You know, you look at the other pass catchers in this offense, that Allen Robinson is that true number one guy that can take the attention of the defense. And if Trey Burton can live up to his billing and be another 600-800-yard guy and take a lot of middle-of-the-field attention, it kind of leaves Taylor Gabriel and Tariq Cohen as those third and fourth options, not only for Mitchell Trubisky, but third and fourth options for the defense to have to deal with. And If they're double teaming Allen Robinson out the outside, you got Trey Burton taking the attention of a linebacker and a safety over the middle, all of a sudden that leaves Taylor Gabriel one-on-one with maybe a number two type cornerback, or Tariq Cohen working against a number three cornerback, or a safety coming down, and that's where you can kind of see the mismatches for both of these players. But Tariq Cohen's kind of the obvious one. You know what I mean? That, yeah, you give him more opportunities and a coach that can properly utilize him, he's going to be more productive this year. But like I said, I think Taylor Gabriel is a little bit more of a sneaky potential surprise player here, that just see what he does with more opportunities. You know, maybe he's maxed out, and maybe the Browns and the Falcons couldn't get that much more of him. But we've seen early in his career him show that potential for more. And I think the Bears wide receiver coach this offseason was quoted as saying they don't think Taylor Gabriel has reached his full potential, now entering his fifth season. He's entering his prime, 27 years old. You know he's got that speed that can really cause a lot of problems for defense. When you have rare traits and you have efficient production earlier in his career, you bring that to an offensive-minded coach who can be innovative and has had a player with a similar skill set on his previous team. I think there's a lot of reasons to feel like Taylor Gabriel can be the surprise wide receiver for the Bears in 2018. Well, I hope this half hour of Bears talk has been a nice surprise for you, interrupting our look ahead at the Bears 2018 schedule. We're still going to get right back on it. We're going to be looking at the New York Jets on our next episode of the podcast, and then we're moving on to some NFC North opponents in the near future afterwards. But I wanted to interrupt a little bit, get you some more straight up Chicago Bears analysis, and I think it's going to be fun to watch these four players, and hope I don't spoil the surprise on any of these guys this year, but I think those are some names that are flying under the radar a little bit. Maybe you'll start to see some training camp press if they start to make some plays there and emerge, and then of course there's the preseason. These are the guys that I think you got to keep an eye on, and I think they're the ones that have the most potential for that sort of surprise success. You know, like I said at the top of the show, I didn't want to talk about the obvious guys that everyone's expecting Trey Burton to look like a better tight end than he has in the past. But these four guys, Taylor Gabriel, Roy Robertson-Harris, Isaiah Irving, and Adam Shaheen, maybe they're not getting the attention that all their teammates are getting, but we're giving it to them here on Locked On Bears. You heard it here first, and if you want to hear more of it, make sure you're subscribed to the podcast and whatever podcast listening app it is you're using right now. I'm sure it's got a subscribe button. And if yours hasn't been pressed, somebody's got to do it on your phone or your computer, whatever device you're using. Someone's got to press the subscribe button there, and it better be you. You got to keep up with all of our podcasts this offseason. We're going to be bringing them to you, especially as training camp gets going here. A lot of Chicago Bears talk is going to be coming your way, and I promise you're not going to want to miss a single second of it. You can keep up with me on Twitter at CoxSports1. You can follow the show on Twitter at LockedOnBears. We also have a Facebook page if that's more your social media app of choice. But if you're not a big social media person, just keep tuning in the podcast. That's the best way you can keep finding new reasons to bear down.